pulpit to the back, and y'all look that way. Yeah. All right. Well, as you're sitting down this morning, if you'll open your Bibles up to Mark chapter 12, we'll be starting in verse 28 today. And title of the message, Simply Two Great Loves. We all have things we love, amen. Now, I can't hear a thing, so you're going to have to really... Amen. There we go, all right. And carry it on to next week. Whew. All right. But two great loves. We have things that we love. We have things that we put a lot of investment into, and that's good, as long as it doesn't start interfering with one love that we have, and that is our love for Jesus. There we go. All right. Okay. And so that is good. But thinking about the word love, that could be misused and messed up and done in so many different ways. And I was trying to think, personally speaking, you know, when you first start dating a girl, some of y'all that's hard to remember, right? I remember way back when you start dating your spouse's match. Do you remember that? Do you remember that? Remember that horse and buggy going to pick her up? You remember that? Yeah, it was awesome, wasn't it? Yeah. But yeah, we'd probably do some things a little bit out of the ordinary, wouldn't we, guys? Probably bought some flowers back in the dating stage, didn't we? Sometimes. Okay, we do different things, okay? Now, you know, for most of us in the room, not all of us, but most of us, I've been married for, 20 plus years, and maybe that looks a little different now. You know, just like yesterday, me and Ryan, the sickly one, stayed at the house, and Kathy and Daisy headed to Lubbock for her 14th birthday pictures. And they went up there, and me and Ryan down there at the house. And I walked back and forth a few times. And in the hallway by the laundry room, there was a laundry basket. And it had clothes stacked up this high. I have to admit, I walked by that thing probably 10 times and thought, nope, probably can't even move that thing. Then about that 11th or 12th time, I walked by it and I went, she sure would like that, wouldn't she? And I got to thinking, well, I sure do love her. She does a lot for me. She would probably just do something for me without asking or doing. So I was a good guy yesterday. I folded a basket of clothes that took me, not bragging, about 2 hours. I'm not good at folding clothes, evidently. Now, maybe she probably has to go through and refold a few of them. Been there, guys? But that's love, though. It looks a little different now. And so when we think about love and we think about those kinds of things and what we do for one another, how we treat our friends, how we treat our spouses, the different things that matter, in this passage this morning, we see really two loves. In this passage, Jesus actually quotes a Jewish prayer. It's called the Shema. This is something that when you look at this, this is where they're questioning Jesus and they're saying, what's the greatest commandment, Jesus? What is the greatest commandment? And then Jesus gives some words here. So let's read together Mark chapter 12. Starting in verse 28, I ask that you would stand with me this morning as we read together. And it reads like this. And one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, asked him, which commandment is the most important of all? Jesus answered, the most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And there is no other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said to him, You are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and there's no other besides him. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is much more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, You are not far from the kingdom of God. And after that, no one dared to ask him any more questions. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for this morning. God, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you for the privilege to be able to look at your word and to take from it, God, the application that we can use today. For it's in Christ's name we do pray. Amen. So this morning together, looking at those two things, and yes, we've studied this, we've seen this, we've probably done it in Sunday school 100 times, but as we look at this and we see Jesus doing this, and again, guys, listen, this right here, this whole passage where it starts in verse 30 and it says, And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. That is a Jewish prayer. That is basically, in Christianity terms, that would be in comparison to our Lord's Prayer, okay? A Jewish person, a devout Jewish person, will say this every morning and every night. They would quote that. And so Jesus takes this prayer here, and he says, listen, this is the greatest commandment, is to love God in all of these facets right here. Now, we could just stop and I could say, to save us all this morning, I could just say, you know what? God says what? All, right? What does he say? 4 times, right? The word all, right? All this, all this, all this, all this. Love him with that. Now, if we just stopped right there and we looked in our own lives, or maybe we looked into a mirror this morning, could we honestly, if Jesus was standing in front of us today, go, I do that. Jesus, I love you with all my heart. I do that. Now, it's easy to look at me right now and go, yeah, I do that. Yeah, oh, yeah. Jesus, I love you with all my mind. Think about that for a second. That means all your thoughts. Jesus, I love you with all of my soul, with all of my emotion. I love you. So when you get angry, when somebody cuts you off, when you're texting and driving and shouldn't be doing that. No, it's not me. I'm looking at y'all. In that anger, do I still love God with everything that I am? Now, Jesus is saying this is the greatest commandment. This is the greatest thing we can learn. This is the greatest thing that we can see. And yet, even though we know this and we read it over and over and over and we see it right in front of our faces, we go through these four aspects and we could probably answer no to every single one of them. So this morning, let's look at them specifically to try to get an understanding of that. So the first thing is this, okay? It's simply this. We are commanded to love God supremely, okay? Yes, that is everything that we are. In other words, there's nothing that goes in front of God. Nothing that goes in front of God. Parents in the room, I know this is hard to comprehend. But guess what? Our children do not go in front of God. It's really quiet in here. I can't hear anything, but it's really quiet. Our children do not go in front of God. Yes, our spouses do not go in front of God. Now, some of y'all are sort of looking at me cross-eyed right now, but I can tell you right now, if we put anything or anyone in place of God, we are coming short on what He says is the greatest commandment. It's that simple. You say, but if I put God, what if I put it in front of my spouse, I'm supposed to put, well, that's a good thing. If you put God first, your marriage is going to be much healthier and happier. You put God in front of your children, guess what? That discipline is going to become a lot easier. Kids in the room are like, no, don't do it. So we have to understand that. And so we're walking through the heart, the soul, and the mind this morning, okay? The heart, which is the core of our being. Without our hearts, we are not very much, amen? Boy, I know if anybody knows, I know about that, okay? Born with a couple of holes in my heart, didn't find it until I was about a year and a half. Got that repaired. Had a few pacemakers in my lifetime, just had a hole repaired recently. Yeah, that's a great ticker, let me tell you. But I can tell you, if I didn't have it, guess where I'd be? That's right, yeah, heaven. No. Karen's like, dead. Karen's like, in the ground, pushing up daisies. Thanks, Karen. Golly. Guess I'm not a Christian. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. Jay loves me at least. Sometimes, yeah, I know. But yeah, our heart is that central focus. It's what keeps us going. It's everything that makes us be able to live and function and breathe and do all the things that we can do in life. And so Jesus says here, listen, you are to love me with all of your heart. In other words, all of your life, everything that's you, everything that's about you, everything that surrounds you, everything that you're all about is supposed to be about God. And yet if we're really honest with one another this morning and we took a look through the lens this morning at our lives, can we honestly say that that's true today? In other words, if a complete stranger walked in here and dissected our lives today and said, okay, I'm going to lay it out on the table right now and I'm going to look at your life, am I going to see Jesus? Or am I going to see the things you look at on the computer? Or am I going to see how you spend your money? Am I going to see the words that come out of your mouth? Am I going to see the attitudes and the actions that you have at work? See, it gets a little bit more real when we put it out there, doesn't it? See, if we laid it out on the table like that and Jesus was looking at it and picking through our lives, would it really reflect that, man, I love Jesus so deeply and so affectionately that it's all the way to the core, which is my heart? The heart is our life spring, right? Everything pumps through it, right? If your blood's not pumping through there, we've got problems, right? Okay? Sort of the imagery here is Jesus saying, what needs to be flowing through there? Him. It's the central, it's the base, it's the foundation. I believe that's the reason Jesus said it first. He wanted to get the point across. Everything starts there. So if you're going to love me, you better start there first, okay? Have me in the central core there. And then he goes to something else. He says, with all of my soul. Don't talk about the soul that much. With all of your emotions. Any emotional people in the room? Raise your hand if you're emotional. You're pregnant, May. Put your hand up. Okay, all right, okay. Pregnant with three girls. I mean, get both hands up, girl. All right. Man, triplets, yeah. Three of them. Whew. Our emotions. Yes, now there are more emotional folks than others. Yeah. Have you ever had a friend that you just like to trigger? I'm not going there, Kelly, but yeah. It is fun, though. It is fun. If you just know that you just know how to get under their skin, you may say something or do something, lead something out. You know, right? Right? Y'all never do that? It's okay to be honest in church. Yeah, so we do those things, and folks get triggered, and all these emotions come out, and then things tend to snowball, and then we regret it, right? No, you started. No, you started. No, you. No, you. No, yeah, I've been down that road. God says, with all of your soul, love me. With all of your emotions, with all of your anger, with all of your joy, with all of your happiness, with all of your sadness, with all of your mourning, with all of those things that you encounter in your life, in all of those situations, you're still supposed to be all about my love. But the fact of the matter is, church, and this could be said for the church for years and years, it seems like when we're really good or when we're really happy or when things are really joyful, there's not a lot of God in our lives because I've got it under control. And then the bottom drops out and then somebody dies. And then, oh, I love my Jesus. I know you've heard the old adage, you know, don't live in such a way where the preacher's got to lie at your funeral. You heard that? It's so true. It really is. Been at churches and been asked to do funerals, and I'd be like, had to talk to somebody like, who is it? Literally. Well, who is this person? Well, they're so-and-so. Are they members? Were they members? Oh, yeah, they've been members for 50 years. Do they know what the church looks like? Probably not. Living in such a way, you got to lie at your funeral. Love in all circumstances. Don't let grief stricken you to have to force you back into love with God. Love Him in all the times. That's the reason it says again the word all of your soul. That deepest part of who you are, love God in that. The next one that I like here, it says, is to love you with all of your mind. Now, we don't think about this much, but as much as we are on these things right here, I think this is pretty important. Amen. Love God with all of your mind. I was reading one commentary. It said that means all of your knowledge and all of your intellect. For some of us, that's pretty shallow. Amen? I'm not even going to go there, Jay. I was being nice to you. Hey, coach is not here. That's for anybody that cheers for the University of Texas, okay? That intellect's pretty shallow, okay? Pretty low. Say it, Jaden. Say it loud. Okay? I had to go there. But yeah, it's all of our thoughts and all those things that go through, all that knowledge. Where do we put that time into? What are we reading? What are we taking in? We tell our kids all the time, we put garbage in, garbage comes what? Out, right? That's where God says, love me with all of your mind. It does matter what you're putting in there. It absolutely matters. Now, does that mean we can't enjoy a movie? No. I enjoy reading. Now, the last few months, I've been sort of on a kick of all things. I've been reading, I like history kind of stuff, so I've been reading up on the Texas Rangers and gunfights and some of those kinds of things. And I've read some Texas, don't get too excited, church. Texas history and some Texas oil kind of history kind of stuff. West Texas kind of. I've been reading all these kind of books. I've probably read 30 or 40 now. And just reading all that kind of stuff. Is that bad? No, I don't think it's bad. As long as it doesn't go in front of what again? Go back to the start. God again, right? But it says to love you with all of your mind. And so really what I think Jesus is getting at, he's reminding us today of this book right here. He's reminding us that we have a real opportunity here to love God with our minds and really get back into this book right here. Do we really love to read this book? Do you really love to read the Bible? Now, again, we're sitting in church, you're looking at the preacher. You know, God's here. You know, what am I going to say? No. You know, I mean, really. Okay, I get it. So answer in your own head, okay? Remember, though, love God with all your... Boy, this is dangerous, isn't it? But yeah, we should enjoy and love reading the Bible. It should be just as enjoyable for me as reading about some lawman. I found a book the other day. It's about West Texas. It's about a sheriff in Martin County, Texas. And it talks about his trials and stuff. It's like a 200-page book or something. So I've started that now. Okay? And I'm enjoying it. Now, enjoy that. I still should be enjoying what? Right here. So as we think about that and think of it, it says, God loves me with all my mind. Love him with all of my mind. Then, okay, when I have that phone out, what am I looking at? Those videos I'm watching. Do they please and honor God? Now some of y'all are frowning at me. Do they? There have been a few times I've walked by my daughter and that phone's come out of her hand. You ever do that with your kids? Because again, garbage in, garbage out. We better be aware of that, church. God says to love me with all of your mind, all of your thoughts. And that does include, yes, we make fun. I make fun of driving, but it does. You're driving down the road and somebody does something you don't like. What's your thoughts? Don't answer that out loud. We can't say it in here, trust me. But we do. We have some nasty thoughts, don't we? I've told you, I've had it happen to me a few times. Jay's going to have to come to my rescue one day. But in Big Spring, for whatever reason, if you don't start at a green light right when it turns green, people just don't like it. I don't get it. Like, people are doing other things. I may be clipping my nails or something, you know? I can't just take off. Don't blow your horn at me. Because you're going to sit there for another light. I mean, it's happened a few times. Those thoughts we have, right? We got to be careful, right? Because do they honor God? Do they love God? No, they don't. We don't know what's going on behind us, do we? We don't know what's going on in front of us when we blow that horn, do we? All of our mind needs to love God. And then it says all of our strength needs to love God. This is our physical being. It's those gifts that we have. Are we really using those for God? All of our strength. Do we really love God with all of our strength? I've seen this in my ministry too, and this is true. I think for anywhere I'll ever go is people that, you know, oh man, I'm doing great. Life is good. I'm just rolling along. I'm healthy. Oh, it's good. It's good. It's good. And again, it's all about who. I'm doing good. Right? I'm doing great. And then we come to an Easter service and everybody gets a virus and all of a sudden we all need prayer, right? I mean, making light of it, but we're all doing good, so we're good. I'm strong. I'm doing it. And we get a little sick. And we turn back to God. Why don't we stay with God the whole time? That physical strength, our abilities that God has given us. What are some abilities God has given you? Do we use those for God? Do we, church? Do we say, God, I love you enough that what you've placed me in my work, I'm going to use it for your glory? Think about that Monday morning when Jesus walked into your workplace again and just confronted you. What's he going to see? Is he going to disgust him? Is he going to make him want to turn around and walk out? Is he going to make him look at you and go, what the heck are you doing? So it says in Scripture here, what is the greatest commandment, the greatest love? Is that we love God with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. And then it goes on and says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, we love this part of it, don't we? Don't you wish maybe God could have stopped with one? I mean, really, right? Because we all have wonderful neighbors, right? Come on, church, come on now. Okay, we're good. Good, y'all have wonderful neighbors. Do you love everybody? Do you love everybody? Uh-oh, and then say, wait a minute. Oh, no, I don't love everybody. Well, it's funny because, see, Scripture doesn't say your neighbor's the guy that lives next door to you. Okay? That's not what that's pointing out to. Okay? Now, some folks have wised up, and they've moved far enough out in the country where their neighbor's like 20 miles down the road. You know what I mean? It's like, I can't even see him or hear him. So the neighbor here, let's understand that here, okay? To love your neighbor as yourself really looks back to Matthew 7:12, where it says to treat others the way you want to be treated, right? You want to get yelled out? Go yell at somebody, right? You want to be treated with kindness? Show kindness. That's how we need to act, okay? Treat others the way we desire to be treated. I think this quote says it best, though. It says to love those who have been created by God in His image. Love those who have been created by God in His image. Now, who is that? It's everybody, right? Now, that's hard for us to do, is it not? Is that hard to do? Okay, listen, I promise I'm going to finish up because my voice feels weird. Is it hard to love everybody? Okay. Why is it? No, don't answer that out loud. I saved you, Tim. Okay. He's back here asleep. You know what's going on. Why is it so hard to do? I find it funny, though, because God shows us how to do it. And He says it's not difficult. So who makes it difficult? We do. We like to pick these things, and we like to pick personalities, and then we take maybe culture, and then we'll do color, and then we'll do all these different kind of elements, and we'll try to mesh it in this pot and go, well, this is the reason why I don't like so-and-so. God made them that way. Careful. Careful. Careful, careful. Because who put all those labels on people? We did. God says, I've created everyone in My image. Every single person on the face of the earth is created in His image. They're all our neighbors. It doesn't matter the difference of personalities. It doesn't matter the difference of culture. It doesn't matter the difference of color. It does not matter the difference of economics. It does not matter the difference of any of those things. They're still our neighbors. And God says to love your neighbor is yourself. Are you going to hate yourself? Unfortunately, people do. But no. You going to treat yourself horribly? No. For the most part, people try to keep themselves pretty nice and try to take care of themselves, right? For the most part, I know there's cases. So if that's the case and that's how we act and that's what we're trying to do, then why in the world would we not want to show that to our neighbor? Because, see, when we do that, you know what we're showing is we're not no longer showing our love, but the love that we have for whom? God. So if we love God with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, and all of our strength, loving everyone around us, guess what? It becomes easy. So there's your second clue of why it's so hard to love your neighbor. or to love folks that are different from you. Maybe it's because you're not really loving God the way He tells you to love Him. You hear me? Now, sure, you can point your finger at a lot of different things, right? No, it's this fault, or no, it's society's fault. No, it's politics. No, it's not. It's you're not loving your God the way He tells you to love Him. In all the areas that He tells you to love Him with. And so if we can get that down, then guess what? Loving our neighbor, who is everyone, guess what? It's going to become easy. And those differences are not going to, guess what, be differences anymore. We live in a very divided country, do we not? I think we do. You got families that won't even talk to each other because of political issues. That's ridiculous to me. Oh, we gotta be careful about sending that text because, you know, I know we're just joking around about that person, but so-and-so may get offended. You know, they put him up on a pedestal. Really? Love your neighbor as yourself. So how do we do that? Well, we love God with everything we've got. Everything we are. When we do that next thing becomes absolutely nothing. So really what God did there is He said, gave us one thing. And if we could just get that one thing done, guess what? The other thing's going to come into rotation. It's going to become real. Now, I'm 46 years old, and I've seen it my whole life. We definitely put labels on things, amen. Now, out here in West Texas, it's not quite as evident as where I'm from. I'm from West Tennessee, a little bit more evident. We definitely put labels by your skin color. And it's very evident. And it divides people. And you think that kind of stuff should already be sort of disappearing, right? Should. And then people ask, well, why is it not? It's because people, are not really loving God. There's your answer. They'd rather put sin above God. So this morning, I guess the real challenge to us is we have two great loves that have been placed in between, or not in between us, but before us. And the great love is this: we have to love God supremely. In all areas of our life, we have to love Him. There's no excuse. There's no leftover. There's no this idea that I can love Him here and not love Him here. There's no idea of any of that anywhere. There's no idea of saying, you know what, I'm going to put my spouse, I'm going to put my children, I'm going to put my church, I'm going to put this, I'm going to put that above Him. No, it doesn't work that way. You say, well, God's being selfish. No, He's not. How can a God that gave His one and only Son to die for you and I be selfish about saying, just love me? Love me with everything you got. And to see if you can do that, then that second thing, that second love, it's going to be so easy for you. You're not going to go and you're not going to see the difference. You're not going to see this. You're not going to see that. I saw that a few weeks ago at a track meet, actually. I'll end on this. At a track meet, I don't know who the people were. They were sitting down. They were from a different school. And the kid was acting a little wild. Wasn't bothering me. I was just sitting up there in that exciting track meet, you know. Waiting for the next thing to start, you know. Down there, I hear them. And they're down there doing the doing some things. And then this other group came in from another school. And I almost want to say the group that came in was from Wall. But there was a family came in, a couple of them came in. The other, they were sitting right here. And they were just sort of interacting a little bit, that kind of a thing. And the interaction that I really caught intriguing, thinking about these two great loves, is there was a mom, and she was sitting there. And I hear it. The kid's doing something, and I'll be honest with you, I'm sitting up there with Kathy, and it wasn't that he was being wild, it didn't bother me. We're in a football stadium, it doesn't matter. But I did sort of make a point. I said, he must have like autism or something. Just, you know, I just said that whispering to Kathy. I said, he's just all over the place. Long story short, the mom was doing something, and she said something, and the other mom was like, I don't know what she's talking about. And she said, oh, but my son, and I could hear her say, list all this stuff for her son. And the other mom was like, I just thought their kids were playing together. Wasn't a care in the world, didn't see any of that. She just saw two little guys playing with each other. From two different places, just having fun together. And I thought that was pretty cool. Because in that moment, as I sort of watched the interaction take place, I'm going, that's how God wants it to be. See, I'm too busy up here looking down there going, oh, that kid's got autism or something. He's crazy. He's nuts. He's got something going down there. Another mom who, his son, he came and they're just going nuts together down there. She's like, oh, I didn't know. They're just having fun together. What are you talking about? Didn't even notice. I think that's what God is, the image God's trying to give to us when he says, you know what? If you love me the way I want you to love me, you're going to be able to see the world through a lens where you just get to love people. Do people have issues, church? Yeah. But is that how we need to base them upon, or how we need to judge them or see them? No. How do we need to see them? And if we really love God right, how are we going to see those people? Through the eyes of God. So we're going to look at, what does God look at where he starts out? The heart. I would hope that when somebody looked at me, I can tell you, if you're going to judge me from the outside, I'm done. You know, throw the towel in. I'd want you to look at my heart, so I'd hope that I'd look at yours, because that's what God desires. So two great loves, how are we doing in it? That's sort of a self-challenge today, a challenge to think about. But it's also a challenge for us, church, because if we're not working on that, guess what? The world around us, when they look at us and they look at our church and they look at our families and they look at our marriages and they look at all those things, guess what? They're not seeing the one we claim to serve. And that matters. So I'm going to pray us out this morning. We're not going to have invitation this morning. That's just a challenge this morning. If you have anything you need to talk about, I'd love to stand 6 feet from you and talk to you about it. I'm just kidding. We'll put blue lines on the floor. Next week, we'll have some caution tape up for Jay. He loves it. We'll have some mass stations up. Jay said he wants to bring that back. I don't know. He's a weird duck. But hand sanitizer. I don't know. It's weird stuff. I don't know. But, yeah, we'll work on that, okay? So we'll pray together. But if you need to talk, you need to pray, I'd love to do that with you. But that is a challenge. Are we really loving God the way he desires to be loved? For most of us, we're probably not fully there, church. We need to work on it. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I thank you this morning. God, I thank you for the great love that you have for us. So, God, I pray that we would show that back. God, that we would be willing to understand that the greatest commandment you've given us is to love you with everything that we are and to love those around us with everything that you've poured into us. And God, so I just pray that you'd give us the desire and the want and the choice to do so. God, we'd love you today, for it's in Christ's name we do pray. Amen.